The old school bell tells us that it's time for session number 15 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and then a worship on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. It's the purpose of this school to teach the Bible. And what we are doing is looking at Sunday school lessons that were written many years ago. Sometimes if you think, man, I wish they would teach the Bible at school, at church like they used to. Well, that's what this is. This is the way they used to do it. We're looking at a lesson that was written for February the 5th, 1922. And as we look at this, I want you to take note of how we concentrate on Bible teaching and Bible instruction. And let me tell you, if that's not what you're getting where you go to church, you need to visit one of the Churches of Christ in this county. There's about 45 of them, and I think you will be impressed with the attention that is given to studying and learning the Bible, and then of learning lessons from what we have studied in that. Now, this Sunday school lesson I'm looking at was written by E.A. Elam, who was a great preacher and great teacher of the days past. And this particular lesson, written for January 5th, 1922, has to do with the time when Elijah was taken up into heaven. You know the story of the fiery chariot? Well, sometimes the old spiritual is sung, "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." And a lot of people get the idea that Elijah was taken up into heaven in a chariot. But it wasn't the chariot that took Elijah into heaven. This chariot and horses came down and separated Elijah from the prophet that was to take his place, Elisha. And then while they were separated by this chariot, Elijah went up in a whirlwind. Now, before we get into the study notes for this, I want to read again from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, and then we'll get right to the notes. But the text says, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6, "And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came near to Elisha and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that Jehovah will take away thy master from thy head today?' And he answered, 'Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.' And Elijah said unto him, 'Tarry here, I pray thee, for Jehovah has sent me to the Jordan.' And he said, 'As Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And they too went on." Now with that, let's look at these explanatory notes. And there's two sections to these notes. Number one, Elisha's request. And number two, Elijah taken up. I'm going to begin reading on page 49 of Elam's notes from 1922. "These prophets also knew of Elijah's approaching departure, and so informed Elisha. To them he replied as to the prophets at Bethel. Here Elijah urged Elisha to remain while he went, in obedience to God, to the Jordan. But again, Elisha refused to leave him. And they, too, went on, knowing that Elijah would be taken away from the earth without dying. These young prophets were desirous of seeing him depart. So 50 of them followed him and Elisha, and stood over against them afar off. We can easily see why these prophets should be so intensely interested. They could see Elijah and Elisha as they stood together by the Jordan, and they too stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle. This was the cape of skin, doubtless sheepskin dressed with the wool on it. This was the prophet's badge. Some false prophets wore a heavy mantle to deceive, Zechariah 13:4. They were indeed wolves in sheep's clothing. Elijah wrapped it together so he could handle it as a rod. It was a badge of his prophetic office, and through it, as though Moses' rod, the power of God was manifested. With his mantle thus rolled together, Elijah smote the waters of the Jordan, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It is quite probable that at this very place Joshua with the ark of God divided the Jordan, Joshua 3:13. With his rod Moses divided the Red Sea, Exodus 14:21. With that same rod Moses performed other wonders. This must have been an exciting scene to the 50 prophets in the distance. What shall I do for thee before I'm taken from thee? This was Elijah's question to Elisha after they crossed the Jordan. And after Elisha had proven his fidelity and devotion to Elijah, his faithfulness and steadfastness in the service of God, and his perseverance in seeking greater qualifications for his work, he had proven himself worthy. Elijah was ready to bestow upon Elisha whatever favor was in his power. He would do this for Elisha's sake and for the good of the people, like Solomon's renowned prayer for wisdom in 1 Kings 3, 4-14, this request of Elisha was pleasing to God. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit fall upon me, Elisha said. A double portion of the inheritance was the right of the firstborn, Deuteronomy 21:17. That is, of the inheritance of the firstborn received twice as much as the other heirs. For this portion of Elijah's spirit, Elisha prayed, and not for twice as much of the spirit as Elijah possessed. Other sons of the prophets might see a portion of Elijah's spirit, but Elisha prayed for a double portion. Elisha had a measure of the spirit, but he desired more and he received it. He had proven himself worthy, and with a double portion he would accomplish more for God and for the nation. God gave the Spirit to Jesus, not by measure, John 3:34. To others it is given by measure. Elijah himself must have had a double portion, a very great measure of the Spirit of God. He was blessed with great spiritual powers because of his faithfulness and loyalty to God. Thou hast asked a hard thing, Elijah said. It was hard because God alone could bestow it, and he would not do so unless Elisha was faithful and worthy. God works through men as channels, and as much good and as many blessings throw through them to others as the capacity of the channel permits. Knowing Elisha's capacity and worthiness, Elijah promised upon his faithful continuance to the end that he should receive the blessing requested. If thou see me when I'm taken from thee, that is, if Elijah should prove his fitness for such a blessing by remaining with Elijah, faithful and dutiful until he left the earth, it shall be so with thee. But if not, if he did not remain faithful, it shall not be so. This goes to show that when in 2 Kings 2:4-6, Elijah was urging Elisha to remain behind, it was to test Elisha's faithfulness and perseverance. There was a spiritual and prophetic power connected with the mantle of Elisha. See 1 Kings 19:9. In remaining with Elijah until he was taken up, Elisha would obtain this mantle. He did obtain it, and with it parted the waters of Jordan, 2 Kings 2:3-14. Elisha was not a greater prophet than Elijah. Elijah had been called the law restorer, in whose spirit and power John the Baptist came. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Jehovah come, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, Malachi 4:5-6. This, Jesus says, refers to the coming of John the Baptist, Matthew 17:9-13. Elijah and Elisha were different in disposition. The one was rugged and bold like the rock to the mountain. The other was milder and gentler. Elijah was a pioneer who laid the foundation upon which Elisha built. And then number two, Elijah taken up. And they still went on and talked. It is not stated what is the subject of their conversation. We can well imagine they talked about Elijah's ascension and Elisha's future work. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah talked with Jesus about the death he was about to die. While Elijah and Elisha thus walked and talked, a chariot, and on the margin says chariots, plural, a chariot of fire and horses of fire passed between them and separated them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. It is said, we are not to think of Elijah's ascending in a chariot. Why not? He ascended, and the chariot ascended. Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot. It's chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof, 2 Kings 2:2-12. Elijah went up by a whirlwind. Well, maybe the chariots did too. And then the chariot that parted Elijah and Elisha, Elijah stepped in by a whirlwind, being carried into heaven, and Elisha saw him no more. In humiliation and sorrow, it seems, Elisha took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. Jesus refers to Elijah's stay at Zarephath and the blessing he bestowed upon the widow there, and says he was a man of like passions with us. Other references are made to him in the New Testament. This is the close of the lesson for February 5th, 1922. The next lesson doesn't have to do with Elijah, but Elisha, the prophet that followed him. It is lesson number 7, written for February 12th, 1922. The lesson text for Elisha and the Shunammite woman is 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, 27, 30, and 32 through 35. And I think we have enough time to read that text. 2 Kings 4:18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on a bed as the man of God shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the servants and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God that come again. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came near to thrust her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And Jehovah hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. And the mother of the child said, as Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And when Elisha was come to the house, behold, the child was dead, and lay on his bed. And he went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto Jehovah. He went up, and lay upon the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, and his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself upon him, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. That's from the American Standard Version of 1901, 2 Kings 4. You read the whole story from verses 8 through 37. We'll have to discuss that in the next class. If you have a question, you may always text me at wmhboid@aol.com. This concludes this session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. As the old schoolmaster used to say, you may now be dismissed.